everybody. Thanks for jumping on again this week. Wow, it's such a pleasure to be talking with you. Always consider it an honor to be in your ears, in your room, in your car, wherever you're listening to this podcast. We are so thankful for you and believing that you will be blessed as we talk all things church and leadership on the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm Phil Pringle, your host, and I'm looking forward today to sharing with Wendy Simpson, who I'll be introducing shortly. Listen, make sure that you subscribe, hit that subscribe button, and we'll turn up in your inbox every week, letting you know what's coming up. And occasionally, we'll be sending out a bonus podcast so that you can hear some preaching or teaching from yours truly as well. Look, as we launch into these post-COVID times in the Western world anyway, where we're finally getting some handle on all of this, there are so many great topics on church and leadership that we want to cover. But if you are thinking of areas that you'd like to hear us talk about, then please send us a review, send us a letter, and send us a note. We will attempt to address those topics. So right now, let's go to this conversation with Wendy Simpson. Hi, Wendy. It is great to have you with us today.
Hey, it's so good to be here.
Yeah. Well, Wendy Simpson, whose husband's Jeffrey, he's a barrister.
Yes, he is.
He did that rather late in life, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He's a poster boy for Uni of New South Wales. 58 years old.
Amazing.
Decided to go from engineering to law.
I was always so inspired by that. I thought, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
Fulfill a dream. And Wendy and her husband Jeffrey are members of God in the City, a C3 church in Sydney. She is the chair of the Wengio Group.
Yes, that's right.
And the first woman to run TNT, International's Global Air Freight Operations, received the Order of Australia Medal in 2013 for her service to the community through a range of women's and youth organisations. 2013 was inducted into the Australian Businesswoman's Hall of Fame. Man, there are a decent bunch of qualifications there. Yeah. But I think possibly the greatest qualification is not on our list in front of us. The fact that you have actually been involved in raising something like
13
children.
Foster kids, yeah. That's right, yes.
13 foster kids.
Yes.
So besides all of this, people, this lady has been at home raising all of these young children who were in disadvantages of all kinds. And Wendy took on that job of raising them along with her husband, Jeffrey, and has done a magnificent job. Well, it's great to have you here with us. And we also have Ryan Smith.
Yes. Look out. Thanks for having me.
Co-hosting.
My life just got made. It's great to be here, Pastor Phil. And I've done a podcast with you recently. But as soon as I saw that it was Wendy Simpson and the title was Marketplace, cancelled my plans and grabbed the opportunity
fabulous.
With both hands. So thank you for having me. Yeah. I'm excited to hear what we talk about today.
Yes.
This is really good.
It is great. And we were just speaking, Wendy, about the induction into Marketplace Ministry as opposed to just somebody saying this is my career. But there are people who feel a call, a sense of purpose in their life. And normally most, I mean, if it's the sense of a call of God, they go like, oh, I'm meant to be in the ministry. But there are many, many people who have the call of God on their life but do not feel called to the ministry, but rather to the marketplace.
Yes.
And we were just discussing that. When did you first get that sense?
Yeah, well, there was actually an advertisement in the local newspaper when I lived in Melbourne, and they were asking for business women to put themselves forward to go on a study trip to the USA. And at that stage, we were living in Melbourne with the foster kids, and I was also in the business career, but I was looking for something more, and this was an opportunity to really to be going to the US to see how business women were celebrated and what they were all about. So you had to nominate yourself. And I had to really wrestle with, well, will I do that? And a number of my Christian friends were actually saying to me, well, that's a bit, you know, presumptuous. Like, how dare you, you know, put yourself forward like that?
Yeah.
And there was that real, so I had to really wrestle with it. And some of them said, well, if you think that that's a path you want to go on, where you're really now intentionally giving yourself the label of businesswoman, we don't think you can be in our Christian group anymore. So, and I had to really wrestle with it.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's tragic that they said that you can be in one camp or the other. You can't do both. Mm. And I chose, so it was an intentional moment.
Do you think that was because of the business part or the woman part?
The business part, yes. Yes, they were, and you know, there are still some Christians that think that business people, you know, that the commercial world is money, you know, prosperity, success, you know, all of those words don't belong in the language of a Christian.
Did you feel misunderstood?
Yes, yes, it was. It was a painful discussion that I was having with these, you know, good friends. But I just felt that I have to be true to myself. I have to be true to what God's calling.
Man, I feel like we could just go down that rabbit hole, couldn't we? Because there's such a lot of traditional judgment against people doing well in the marketplace, not just in business, but in the arts, sports, entertainment. Education, all these areas, it seems like Christians felt it was more holy to withdraw, to be old-fashioned, to be out of touch.
Yes. Yeah.
But Jesus has told us, go into all the world.
Yes, yes.
And you have done that magnificently, winning awards and of all kinds and being very successful. So congratulations and overcoming.
Yes.
And to pioneer something like that for other people as well, so they can actually have seen you do it so well and realize they can do it as well when they themselves have felt uncertain, not sure, maybe they're going to be judged. You've been that light on a hill, which is fantastic. Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think we all need those role models, don't we? We need to see people who go against what the traditional views say. And as you said, Pastor Phil, you know, Jesus promised us life in all its fullness. And abundance. Totally. That's what he's promised us.
And I would imagine there are scores of young women who have taken their lead from you and been able to be inspired and say, well, it's possible. It can be done. And we should all be something like that, a silent inspiration just by our life, what we're doing to others. And they can even, you know, I know people who would say to themselves, in regards to yourself, what would Wendy do?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Well, and WWWD. Yeah. Oh, no, you wear that on your wrist. Sorry, Jesus, we just have to take the J off. Why do you think it's been so misunderstood? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people still in church today, but a lot of authors writing about it in the sacred and secular, more so in the sacred arena, about the fact that you can be a minister everywhere. It's an unlimited form of expression. Because the code of behavior in church, it's precise. It's very crisp. The moment you go out there, suddenly you, in some ways, have to watch your behavior more. But also you can take risks. You can mix with people who are way more profiled. What do you think has been the reason it's been so misunderstood for so long?
Yes, look, I think part of it is this wrestling with success. And any leader has to understand how they use power and how they listen to those who don't have power and don't assume, you know, we learn that in Deuteronomy that where God says to the people of Israel, don't forget that I am the one who's given you the ability to create wealth. And when we understand that, it's not about us. Mm. It's I've been given a gift and I need to use it. If we start from that perspective, then it's not, you know, me, me, me. It's all not about me being successful. It's about me using the gift that God gave me.
Is that how you would define success?
Yes.
You don't bury it in the ground. You use it whatever the
Absolutely.
Context happens
yes.
to be.
And if you think about when Jesus spoke to the parable of the guys who were tasked with looking after the master's wealth, and you know, the guy who buried his wealth or the talent, he was the one who was really, I mean, it wasn't just, oh, well, do better next time.
He was thrown out.
He didn't get a second chance.
And whatever he had got taken off him.
Yeah. So it wasn't second chance. And we said, in politically correct world, we say we give people a second chance. Mm. Jesus was very tough on those who don't use their talent.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay, so talking about tough. All right. Now, I'm so into this next question because I really want to try and understand. I see in this list that you were the first woman to run TNT International's global air freight operations, who are known for tough unions.
Yes.
Correct. I mean, these guys are amongst your toughest people.
Yes.
In the industry of freight and road freighting and all of that, TNT is known for being such a tough environment. Now, here you are, the first woman to run the joint. And if I could say this properly, Wendy, to me, you've always presented as a very feminine, lovely, wonderful woman. It's not like you have had to morph into being a bloke to try and tough it
yes.
with these guys. So I, because this is a conversation and an argument, a debate often that goes on in the world that like we don't want to be, you know, led around by a woman, women trying to break the glass ceiling, women not being treated equally in the marketplace. But you somehow have managed to enter into a real tough man's world and come out not even smelling of smoke, you know, not even, and done it very successfully. I want to know how you did that.
Yeah, well, look, it's true, Pastor Phil, that was exactly the case. And for those who know the US, the Teamsters Union, otherwise in Australia it was known as the Transport Workers Union, they were tough and they were bullies. And so the challenge was for me to insert myself into the mix of leadership. So I was fortunate that the union could only come around about once every 2 weeks. So I had my people for the rest of the time. And I said to them, okay, so I'm here and I'm going to listen. We talked before about the responsibility of leaders with power. I had the power to change things and I had the power to convene meetings as much as the union did. And so I would say, well, let's talk about these things. Now, what do we need? What I also videoed how they unloaded the trucks and sent that footage down to the Melbourne office and said, you know, when you load up the trucks, this is what it looks like at our end. So, and I actually videoed the guys with the expletives about, you know, those, you know, such and such people. this is how they loaded up the truck. You know, we're outraged by that. And so I used these really alternative means to get people talking about work because the management can sometimes think, well, we're management and we sit back here. But I got involved with really how to make the work better. And the union kept on saying, we wish you'd stop having these meetings. I mean, there's hardly anything for us to do. I said, oh, really?
That's great. That's great. Well, you lighten their load, right?
And I said, well, these are my people. You might think they're your members, but they're also my people. Mm. And so we just kind of calmed things down. And so it was pretty good until TNT was sold to the Dutch Post Office. And then the union were very worried that they were going to lose their power because in Australia, it was the TWU talking with an Australian entity, TNT, we were taken off the stock exchange and the ownership moved to offshore. And so they started giving me death threats, and that was really hard to take.
On that note, that's fascinating because that's using a lot of stealth, right? You know, the Bible talks about blessed are the peacemakers, and then you suddenly find yourself in the position you're in, which requires you to be confrontational and to disrupt this sense of false peace in the workplace. Mm. How do you balance that? How do you reconcile the fine line where you know you've probably taken it a bit too far and you're now not representing Christ and bringing as much peace as you could versus, no, I need to stand up for justice here because this is not okay. How do you feel your way through that?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? And I have been someone who's looked for justice in quite a number of areas. And so it is about listening to the Holy Spirit and picking up, again, that power balance. And I think for those of us who are leaders, we forget what it's like to not have power. We get to a certain stage in our life where we have it. And we can say, this is going to be open, that's going to be closed. That office is going to be there. No, it's going to be over here now. Your lunchtime is going to be this time. No, now it's going to be over there. We have a lot of power, which we think doesn't really look like power until you haven't got it. And so I think that the Holy Spirit teaches us how to understand what a Christ-centered person does with power.
It's amazing. And Pastor Phil, how do that tension that Wendy's talking about, that's just constant for the Christian life. It doesn't never goes away.
I think it is. I think you've got to pick and choose your moments for speaking up for people who can't speak up, who haven't got a voice.
Yeah.
And I think that's a calling we all have. And then there are times when it is better to actually leave it alone because somebody else is going to deal with it.
Yeah, right.
So I have a few little maxims on that one, and that is change the things that you can.
Oh, right.
Don't worry about the things you can't. I mean, you can worry about them, but I mean, give it some thought. But if you can't change it, don't waste your energy on just shouting out about it. There are things right in front of you that you could actually do something about. And then another maxim would be like, am I equipped to bring effective change here? If I'm not, then try and bring somebody else into the mix who can actually be effective at making the changes that need to be made. Talking about the whole induction into the marketplace world, and I listed some things before like education, politics, commerce, entertainment, sports, all these areas where believers have somehow just felt a little shortchanged about getting into that because of the feeling in the church that you experienced full on, that you kind of become a second-class Christian if you don't do the ministry, that you think you're going to be in the marketplace. From my point of view, these are the genuine men and women of God as much as any preacher is. All through Scripture, you've got Job, who wasn't really considered a preacher, but is an extremely wealthy business person. He was the Warren Buffett of his generation, wealthiest man in the in the world. And then you got Abraham, super wealthy businessman. You've got David, who's a king, but also writes poetry and psalms. But then in the New Testament, Jesus, a carpenter, who legend has it, he had some of the best carpentry in the region, especially the yokes for oxen, you know, and so he was famous for apparently for that, but, you know, legend says. Paul, he was a snappy tent maker.
Mm.
So that meant he had to go to the marketplace. He had to be a salesman. He had to have a profit and loss sheet. He had to be, I doubt very much that there'd be talk amongst the marketplace, oh, don't buy a tent off Paul the Apostle. He's a good preacher, but he's a lousy tent maker. He's very shabby on his product. I doubt I would think that most people said, wow, that guy Paul's tents, they're really top rate.
Mm.
And I would think that would be a testimony as much in a lot of places as his preaching. And he was always saying, we worked when we were with you.
Yes, he did. Yes.
So he had the ability to be bivocational, but definitely the business world receives endorsement through Scripture again and again and again, most of it being written by people who were not originally preachers, but business people, marketplace people. How do we, and we're just talking about this before, Wendy, how do we, what do you think we should do in the church to launch people and to recognize at a particular moment maybe that's their calling?
Yeah, that's right. I think it is important to have those like commissioning type events where we often do that for those who feel called to be preachers, as you said, or you know, Bible teachers, or you know, missionaries. We have a ceremony where people gather around, pray for them, and launch them in their career. But then, often there's key moments when they get prayed for again. If you ask most business people how many times they felt their local community have come around and laid hands on them and prayed and released them into their calling into the marketplace, you'd find that there's very few. And I think that's a missed opportunity.
You've inspired me today.
Yes.
I am going to do this.
Absolutely. As you were talking before, Pastor Phil, and then, of course, you, Wendy, it's, you know, obviously when people come to church, even, you know, whether they're working for the church or outside the church, there's still a spiritual expression when they come to the local church. And yet there's so many of us who are in the church, who are working for the church, who've probably neglected the opportunity to have that parallel expression running you know, side by side with the church expression. Do you think, I mean, obviously it's possibly been neglected for too long, but do you think that everybody should take it out for a spin, as it were, and express themselves in an environment other than their local church?
Absolutely. And I don't say that we have to choose one or the other, but when we gather with our local faith community, our local church, and we feel that that group of people are saying, we've got your back, we're praying for you, we're going to cheer you on. When you come and tell us about the challenges and also the successes in your marketplace, you know, they're our successes. Like we talk about that when we say, you know, receive a prophet and, you know, send them on their way. And when you invest in their ministry, you know, it's your success. We say that. But we don't say that in the marketplace context.
That's true.
And prophets in the marketplace, people who can declare, you know, how an industry should run. You know, I also challenge people not just to be a small potato in their industry, but join the industry association. Find out who is the president if you're in the architect industry. Who is the president of the Architects Association? You know, if you're in the medical profession, who is the head of the medical association in, you know, in your area? And get to know them and say, you know, I'm praying for you. I do that to every industry that I'm part of. I say, you know, it's a big job you've got.
Interesting.
And I know that you shouldn't have to do it on your own, and you're not supposed to do it on your own, because God has placed you in a position of authority, and it's my job to pray for you.
Wonderful.
Tim Keller has an approach in his church, and did it for many years, where he would have someone who was in a marketplace ministry situation, uncertain about whether they should take this job or that role, if they happen to be working in the arts. And he would have meetings with a spiritual coach present, a counsellor, a business coach, their boss at work, and then somebody who was an expert in the field that they had an opportunity in. And so he'd get a holistic viewpoint so the person could make a well-informed decision. And I think that's something, is that likely to be a trend, do you think, that we'll see in the future, where there's many voices coaching?
You know, I think Billy Graham said the next great move of the Holy Spirit is going to happen in the marketplace. And so, again, we'd miss our opportunity if we don't get ourselves ready for it. And I think young people today, youth groups, when do we talk about, you know, vocation? When do we really get business people in to talk to youth groups and say, as you're starting to prepare your life, think about how you might want to really bring to life your faith, you know, in your career.
Exactly. I mean, at C3 College, we've had a large number of graduates, thousands and thousands of graduates come out of it. Not all have ended up in the ministry as worship leaders or pastors. In fact, probably, a smaller percentage than 50%, maybe 10, 20%. But I know some of them who have graduated from that and gone on to be hugely successful in the law world, in business, and in whatever, as builders, architects, whatever. There's a call of God on them, but they got biblically sound, got the sense of call crystallized in them, and decided at the end of it, and graduating after 3 years, that they were actually going to do something else. And that's interesting to me, but I think it's also a great testimony of our college, that we are not restricting you to thinking that C3 College is only preparing you for one-dimensional life,
yes,
called the ministry, but you can actually be trained to be effective in all levels. I teach on leadership in there, and that those leadership principles apply everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yes.
To everything. And so I think that moving forward, it's a very exciting prospect to have, you know, the idea that we can be trained for the ministry anywhere in the world, whether it's church or marketplace. I'm wondering, Wendy, on the woman issue, can I go back to that? Because there's so much of a discussion about that in Australia and around the world, and it's a pretty constant discussion. How do you respond to the feminist movement, to calls maybe to be a champion for a cause to do with, you know, women rising in the marketplace?
Yes, so very interestingly, the rise of feminism started with Germaine Greer and the female eunuch. And I was in high school at the time. I was reading the New Testament and the female eunuch side by side. I was reading both of them. And so the women's movement was speaking to me in one direction. And I went to the church at that time and I said, well, what are you saying? And they said, we don't know what to say. And so I had to work it out for myself.
Wow, okay.
I had to work it out for myself. And I said, well, I read that Jesus said in Christ there's no male nor female, you know, there's no Jew nor Greek. And so I thought, well, life in all its fullness. That's what God's promised. So I worked out that God wants me to be a fully purposeful and abundant living woman. And so I didn't take some of the trappings of the local church, which was that, you know, you were a wife and stayed home and made scones and all of that. Mm-hmm. And there are women who do that, but that wasn't me. And so I took a lot of my, I guess, my inspiration from both the feminist movement and the Bible at the same time.
Amazing.
And so when I started the premier program for women entrepreneurs in Australia, I did that because God said to me, I want to do something about the injustice of women with the venture capital industry. Only 5% of all of the venture capital in Australia, and in fact, every country in the world, the venture capital industry is still very male-dominated. And yet women entrepreneurs are as creative and as dynamic as the men. And he said, do something about that. So I started the women's program called Springboard Enterprises. And as it so happens, the most famous woman entrepreneur in Australia at the moment is Melanie Perkins with Canva. And that was just valued at $16 billion 2 days ago. Mm. She's one of our first graduates of the program.
Wow. How good is that?
That is really exciting.
That is amazing. And so you started an organization that you would invite capital, you know,
venture capitalists to meet the women entrepreneurs.
Yeah, fantastic. Yes. A bit like that, what do they call it, the Dragon's Den thing?
Yes, yeah, a little
den.
More sincere. Yeah.
present ideas.
We have something called the Dolphin Tank.
Oh, yeah.
Dolphins are much more friendly.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Safe place. It's been such a pleasure talking with you today, Wendy. Always is, and never disappointing. And I know that all of our listeners on this podcast will be inspired. Where can they go to discover more of what you are bringing to the marketplace? Is there a website, a Instagram feed, or?
So Springboard is called SBE Australia for the Women Entrepreneurs Program, and I think there's a lot of Church for Entrepreneurs that is a great source of wisdom for me, and there's a number of different faith and work websites that I write for, and so
fantastic.
Yeah, Google those.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thanks for being with us, and we look forward to meeting up again next time. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Pastor Phil, and thank you, Wendy. What exciting,
fabulous.
Insightful.
Great
we'll
to be here.
Hey, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed that discussion with Wendy and our trusty friend Ryan Smith. You know, I always enjoy talking to such wonderful people. Wendy is a super influencer in Australia, and especially in amongst business circles, marketplace, and women in business. And we look forward to dealing with more subjects like that as we launch into the future. Once again, don't forget to rate us, tag a friend, tell somebody about the podcast. If you're enjoying it, I really hope that you're able to share it. God bless you. Look forward to talking with you again next week.